A second reading today from the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. Together let us hear God's word to us. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he long delay in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Andy said I had, what did he say? I had good pipes or something like that. I do like to sing. When I was selecting the hymns, which I've always enjoyed, because selecting them in the office when I was preaching on a regular basis, I would kind of sing them, hum them. I came to one hymn that I did not know because I saw that it was a Kenyan hymn, and that is our second hymn. So all I know is from how it sounded in my head, and I can't wait to hear it today. I've learned that the choir has practiced it, and we can all learn it together. One Sunday morning at the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City, a man was visiting from the Lehigh Valley, and he was wearing a pin on his lapel, which depicted the famous Mack truck logo. Later, during coffee hour, noticing the pin, someone from the group asked him, "What does the bulldog represent?" And with a twinkle in his eye, he replied, I wear it for my company, but I like to say that it signifies the tenacity with which I hold on to Jesus Christ." The pastor was standing nearby. His name was Tom Toole, and he had preached for some time here in the Lehigh Valley. And hearing this, the pastor replied, "I'm glad it signifies your tenacity, but how about saying it represents the tenacity with which Jesus Christ holds on to you?" I heard Tom Toole give that illustration a number of years ago at the Massanutten Springs Bible Conference, which my family would go to year after year. This past year was the first year we had not gone there as a family since my son was 1 year old. He's now 33 years old. But I thought of that illustration this week as we were coming to Luke 18. God continues to hold on to us with the tenacity of 1,000 bulldogs, even in difficult times. But it is also our role, our job, to hold on to God and to be tenacious in our cries to God. And this is the message of Luke 18 today. The persistence of Abraham, we've heard that already in the Old Testament lesson. Abraham is doggedly persistent. And that's the best definition of tenacity, of being tenacious, that I know. Although I went to the dictionary and looked up tenacity, and I don't know which dictionary it was, but it said the quality or state of being tenacious. Now I remember that you're not supposed to use the same word in your definition. My wife Roberta just had to listen to 5 hours worth of training. She's a Catasauqua bus driver. She drives bus for the you can ask her afterward. But anyway, she said in the training there were a number of times when it had the definition and it used the same word. So you're not supposed to do that. But here, Abraham is being persistent. You remember how Abraham walked daily with God, and one day God is speaking with Abraham about how bad the world has become. He is about to destroy this city. And Abraham, who had a tender heart, calls out to God, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked, Lord? What if there are 50 righteous people in the land?" And the Lord says, I will relent, I won't destroy it. And then 40, and then 30, and then 20, and finally 10. God, at each point, says, no, if there are that many righteous people, I will not destroy it. And though the story does not end like Abraham would have liked, the tenacity, the persistence of Abraham is recorded for all of us to take note. And then we come to the tenacious friend at midnight. We have to go back a little bit in Luke's gospel. Luke comes to this theme earlier in Luke's gospel in chapter 11. You remember how it's after midnight and a friend unexpectedly shows up to stay for the night. Has that ever happened for you? The owner of the house doesn't have any bread to give the guest, and the owner of the house goes to his next door neighbor and knocks on the door repeatedly and loudly. A sleepy voice is heard. I'm asleep, and so are my children. But the owner of the first house is persistent in his knocking until he wakes up his neighbor and his kids and his animals and his whole household. And Jesus then comments, the neighbor will give the bread, not because they are friends, but because of the neighbor's persistence. Jesus then continues with a very famous saying, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. The question for us today is, are we tenacious enough in our prayers to God, or do we knock on God's door once a day, rather than following Jesus' words to knock often and long? You know the problem. We are so busy. The richer the culture, the less time we have for prayer. I remember hearing over the years of your trips to and your prayers for Kenya, and how those who went over there came back with saying, they had so much, not things, they had so much faith. Research tells us that the average American Christian prays 4 minutes a day, and the average American pastor prays 7 minutes a day. We are so busy, we just don't have time, do we? But if we pray, we can see great things happening. Every once in a while, you'll hear an experiment on prayer, often by someone with a scientific bent, you scientists that are here this morning. A scientist heard about the people of the South Pacific Islands who prayed over their yam gardens. Poor superstitious people, he thought. And he decided to plant his own yam garden in 2 spots that seemed exactly similar in style and in sunlight. And he would pray over one and not the other. he didn't know many prayers. He had this Hebrew Bible, and he would read from that, maybe something like, Shema Israel, Yahweh, Eloheinu, Yahweh, Ahab. It's the only Hebrew I know, really. But he wouldn't pray over this other part. And so, you know, all of a sudden he realized that this land, this yam garden, was doing so much better than that one. He later admitted that he probably cultivated the garden over which he did not pray with more care, because he really did not want the prayer to work. But it did. And he had no idea what to make of the outcome of his experiment. And he repeated it several times, but each time, prayer worked. What does the one make of the story? He wondered. Maybe God is a comedian. But you and I know there is so much more to our tenacious prayers. It is strength and courage. I used to have an old Sunday school superintendent who prayed every Sunday in our little exercises before going to our Sunday school classes. And she would always say, Lord, thank you for giving us the strength and courage we needed most this week. It is the tenacity, the persistence of God's people. You know, a recent General Assembly of our church passed an addition to the Book of Confessions. It's called the Belhar Confession. And it seemed right this morning, as we come to World Communion, for us to look at it one more time. And I'd like to share these words with you today to talk about our tenacious faith and see how together we can be persistent in our prayers for God's world. It says, we believe in one holy, universal Christian church, the unity of the communion of saints and of the entire human family. And we believe that this unity of the people of God must be manifest and active, I would say tenaciously, in that we love one another tenaciously, that we give ourselves willingly and joyfully to one another tenaciously, that we share one baptism together tenaciously, that we eat of one bread and drink of one cup together tenaciously, that we confess one name, one Lord, for one cause, with one hope, which is the height and the breadth and the depth and the love of Christ forever and ever. Amen. Yes, says Luke, God is even like that judge who responds to the widow who stands at the gate every day and calls out for justice. Thanks be to God who never, never loses his tenacious grip on us when we seem to have lost our grip on him.